have been considered Calvary Chapel Modesto, my church home, these 25 years. We have been so very blessed. But for the last 12 years, we've lived in Japan. And first, we began serving in Tokyo. We did that for just over 8 years. The Lord allowed us to go in there and explore and learn a lot of things. And then once we wrapped up 8 years in Tokyo, we finally headed down south about 1,000 miles from Tokyo. And that's where we began a new work in the city of Kagoshima City on the southern island of Kyushu in Japan. And so I'm here tonight to greet you from our fellowship, Calvary Chapel Kagoshima City. They send their love to all of you here as an extension of Calvary Chapel Modesto. You didn't know you had family down there, did you? But you do. You have loving brothers and sisters way down in the southern tip of Japan, and they send their love. And they have so graciously loaned my whole family, our family of five, to you for the year. For the year. We haven't been able to be here for longer than a handful of weeks, and it's always been a race from the time we arrive to the time our bags are packed and we're headed back home to Japan. But this time around, it's going to just be a time of refreshment, and we're so excited, so thrilled to be here again and to be a part of your lives, to share our lives together for the year. And if it's longer, we'll see. We don't know. It won't be shorter, Lord willing. It's harder to come back and than it was to go. It's been harder. So that's just the background and update for you. Let's get into God's Word tonight. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. There's some messages as a pastor, as a Bible teacher, that are birthed out of your very own life, the entire thing. And with that comes a mix of things. And this is one of those messages that's very personal. It has come out of a season in our lives, a season of heavy warfare, out of a season in our lives of deep pain, heavy trial. And I'm not a very emotional person generally, but I might get emotional tonight. We'll see. But that's okay, right? This is a message the Lord gave me in this last season in our lives, the last 6 months. And it's something that I felt he wanted me to bring here tonight and to share with everyone. My kids gave me a couple of pointers. They said, "Dad, first of all, English, English, English." So I'll try to stay on track. They also said, "Some humor, funny, please, Dad." You know, so teens, three teens, that's what you get. But I want to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11, first of all. This is Paul, and he writes, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Lord, we pray you would prepare our hearts, that you would speak to us tonight. Prepare by the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit. Teach us, Holy Spirit, teach us. And would you apply every lesson to each of our lives? Would you help us to leave this place later tonight closer to you, a deeper walk with you, less of us and more of you? We pray that you would do that through your word tonight. We thank you in advance, Lord, for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here is the Apostle Paul giving us this great letter. We know he writes it from a prison cell. Most of you know the backstory of this. We know that Paul, he's that great missionary through history whom, you know, people like our missionary family hold up and we celebrate. And we know, you can look at what his life was and you can just relate. We relate to what he's gone through. We relate to some of the situations, some of the circumstances, the things that he faced and experienced. And I think we can't understand the fullness of that until we do pack our bags and leave home and go off to some place, a foreign place. far from home, and you began journeying and wandering around, going from place to place, led by the Spirit. And so that's, you know, what Paul's been in the midst of. And so he writes these words, and I want to look just at three parts of what he's saying here, first of all. And the title of this, if you're into titles and you like to write them down, is the Fellowship of Sufferings. And he begins with, that I may know him. Of course, Paul knows Christ, and his life was changed completely. In Acts chapter 9, we turn there when Paul met Jesus. He went from Christian hater, Christian torturer, and Christian killer to a man who loved Jesus. And he shared the gospel everywhere from that point on. He was totally changed, completely changed in every way. And so we wonder for a moment, you ask the question, what does he mean here? What does Paul mean? Don't you know Christ already, Paul? He's walked with the Lord for many years at this point. And we know the answer. The answer is he wants to know Jesus more. He wants to go deeper. He wants to be closer. He has so much more to learn. He's walked with the Lord 20, 30 years. Some of you have walked 20 years, 30 years or more. And you just know that as you get older in the Lord, we see how much further we still have yet to go, how much deeper we still can go to know him, to have that relationship just grow and grow and grow. And I believe that's what Paul means there in those first words that he expresses. And I say, me too, Paul, me too. I want to go deeper. I want to be closer, that I may know him. I want to know him. And we know we'll spend our lives, we'll spend every year of our lives as we follow Christ, getting closer and closer and deeper with him. And we hope so. We hope that's the aim. We never want to fall back, go backwards, step back, take a break, rest. I'll get to resting later, but there's a time for that. But you understand what I'm saying. The second part of this is he says, and the power of his resurrection. So I want to know Christ and the power, I want to know the power of his resurrection. It was the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And that same power, it's the same power that spoke the planets into existence. The same power that created you, that created me, and everything around us. The same power that saved us and has given us the promise and the hope of heaven. It's this power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And I'm so thankful for that power. That power to change a life, you know, that's the greatest testimony in this entire room, as this room is filled with changed lives. Each of you who follow Christ, you've been changed, and it's the power of God that did that. We couldn't do it ourselves. There was no way possible for me to change me. I could not do it. You couldn't do it. Paul says, I want to know that power, that power. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, we live. We know that he died that we might live. By his death, we have life. If he didn't die, we wouldn't have life. All of our hope as believers is tied to this single key point. This is a key point. Everything hinges on this, that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he beat death. Without his resurrection, we would only have a dead Jesus. There would just be a tomb that maybe we could go to and we could read a plaque. There may be something there to see, but it would be the most hopeless and sad scene. The saddest place to visit in the whole wide world would be if Jesus had just died and that was it, that we would all go somewhere to visit the grave site of Jesus. Now, I know some of you have visited Israel. How many have gone to Israel? Many hands up. Great. If you get the chance, go. I am so excited. I was so excited, and I still am excited that I got to go there. I want to go back. But when I went to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, it was empty, and there was a wooden plaque that read, "He is not here. He is risen." I love that. I took a picture of it. I posted up there on the screen like this that we have at our church in Kagoshima around the time of celebrating his resurrection. We just always want to remind people, he's not here. He's risen. He's not there. He's gone. It was an empty tomb. I mean, for the first few seconds, you feel a little ripped off. You know, you waited in a long line and everything patiently. You finally go in and, you know, for a second, you're like, what's this? It's an empty tomb. It's an empty room, you know? And then you say, wait a minute. That's great. That's fantastic. Proof, evidence, I know firsthand. He's raised from the dead. And so Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And then finally, this third thing that he says here, Paul's saying, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Another translation adds, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. So, we're okay with the first one. Paul says, I want to know Christ. And we say, me too. Yep, count me in. Next, he says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And you say, me too, Paul, I'm in. Next, I want to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. We say, wait a minute. No, stop. Wait, sufferings? No, thank you. How many of you in this room enjoy suffering? Just raise your hands high and hold them there. We'll get a count. Nobody. For the record, no one. No one says that. It sounds painful because it is. We don't like pain. But we realized everything that Jesus went through for us was because he loves us. He suffered for us because he loves us. It's a tough thing to accept. It's very difficult to accept this point in the Christian faith, this suffering point. Sometimes a person has the idea that, you know, when you come to Christ, when you become a believer, a follower, a Christian, that it should be all rides, Disneyland, and cotton candy. Right, Mike? Cotton candy. But it's not. It isn't. If anyone tells us that, they're deceiving us. That's not how it is. Jesus told us that in this life we would have tribulations. In this life we would have suffering. He said you would be persecuted. He told us all of it up front. He didn't hide it from us and then spring it on us later. He didn't tease us with candy and rides and then switch it around and say there'll be suffering, persecution, trials. He said it plainly. But he promised he'd be with us at all times through the sufferings. He would always be with us. He would carry us through the darkest times in your life, the deepest trials, the most difficult and painful experiences. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. He loves us. That's why he promised he'd be with us in those things. Paul knew this love, and he had already suffered a lot by the time that he wrote these words. He knew the love of Christ. He experienced the complete change in his own life. He sacrificed so much to then walk with Jesus all the days of his life from that time forward. He laid down what he had. He laid down the popularity. He laid down the financial gain, the benefits, so much that Paul sacrificed to walk with the Lord. And so from what Paul experienced in his Christian life, from the suffering that Paul experienced, there are some things that we learn, some things that we gain, and that's what I want to share with you next, some of the lessons there. So if you're a note taker, here's one of the things we learn through Paul's sufferings. First, Jesus encourages. In your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 23, verse 11. It says, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, be of good cheer, Paul, For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. In this verse, we see Paul at perhaps his most down, discouraged, and depressed day ever in life. It very well could be. I personally believe it was the darkest day of his life. He had hoped to share the gospel with the people he once worked with. He was part of the leading council in Jerusalem earlier in his life and with the Pharisees. His life completely changed by Jesus. He's set free. He's excited by this, by the forgiveness of sins, the promise and the hope of heaven, walking with Jesus. He wants to bring that to the people he used to work with. And he thought they would listen. He thought they would receive it. Maybe you can relate to that. You thought the people around you would be excited, you know, and I know Pastor Damien said this many times in teachings. I steal 75% of my messages from him, so it's okay. But he said things to the effect of, you know, some of your family members or friends say, I can't understand you and this Jesus thing and this Christian stuff. I could understand you as a drug addict. I could understand you when your life was a wreck and a mess. That I could understand and relate to, but they can't understand. And here's Paul, he's facing this. They're not accepting him. They're rejecting him. And I think that it was crushing for him. Paul had an amazing testimony. But instead of listening to his testimony and being changed by it, a riot breaks out. This is the third riot in a week for Paul. We read Jesus' words to Paul during this personal visit, and they're so encouraging. Aren't they encouraging? Imagine, in your own deepest trial, Jesus himself comes. He comes to Paul, and he says to Paul there, he's saying basically, cheer up, Paul. When Jesus comes to you and he says, cheer up, you can cheer up. I can cheer up. It's not just an ordinary friend coming and saying it to you. This is the friend of all friends, Jesus himself. Cheer up. And he says, you actually did well in Jerusalem, and you are indeed going to reach Rome. So the things that were crushing to Paul, his high expectations brought down to the lowest place, the deepest most depressing, darkest place there for him. Jesus comes and he tells him, Paul, look up, cheer up. Jesus is there to support him, to carry Paul at this great time of need in his life. And this is one of those lessons from sufferings, is that Jesus encourages, he will encourage you. I know he's encouraged you before, and he will do that. He will keep doing that in your life. The second lesson from Paul's sufferings is that goodbyes are difficult. Goodbyes are difficult. Now, some of you may say, what? How does that fit with suffering? What? How does that relate to suffering? Well, look at Acts 20. You'll turn back to Acts chapter 20. In verses 36 to 38, here's where Paul is giving a farewell. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. I've underlined, see his face no more. This was what was so heartbreaking to them. This was what was heartbreaking to Paul, that people he shared his life with, people that he ministered to, people that ministered to him, he was not going to be able to see them again. He had a strong sense of that. And they knew it. He knew it. And this is a different type of suffering, but this still is suffering. When Paul must leave after his longest stay in one place, he stayed there 3 years with them, and that was the longest stop that he had as he moved around. You follow his missionary journeys, and that was the long one. He was always going. He was always moving. But he had connected so deeply with this church at Ephesus, so deeply with the people there, the Ephesians. And now it's time to go. And it's never easy to move on. It's never easy to leave, to go. Many of you, you've moved many, many times. You can relate to this. I've met many people in the military as we've been in Japan ministering, and the U.S. has military bases there. I did not know that until I got over there. I didn't know anything about that. But as people would come into our fellowship in Tokyo, we learned that they were only going to be around for 2 years or for 3 years. They were on an assignment, and then the U.S. would move them off to another place. And that's a difficult life. It's not easy. It's similar to some of the lives of missionaries that we meet as well. But you can relate because you've probably moved around as well where you're at and maybe your life in your background. But it's never easy to do that. We connect. We build deep relationships and friendships. And as Christians, there's so much that gets knit together tightly. And, you know, we pour out our hearts with one another. We bear each other's burdens. We, we fellowship. We go through trials, the ups and the downs. We go through life together. And then there may come that time when you have to go. You have to say goodbye. And that is a form of suffering. This is a difficult thing. The Lord was in it in Paul's life, and he has grace for it in Paul's life. But still, it can be scary. We've experienced it. We've had to say goodbye now to those we love dearly in Japan at our church there, the people who the Lord, you know, has just worked so mightily in their lives. 3.5 years ago, we packed up from Tokyo and we headed down. And so it was another time of saying goodbye. And it's just painful each time that it happens. However, you know, the Lord will bless that. And he will multiply his work. His kingdom work advances. His kingdom work increases. It gets going faster. It's doubled. It's not always so sad. Yet it can be a scary thing for us. We're afraid of suffering, all forms of suffering. We are afraid of them. Fear comes in. It can rush in our times of suffering. But when we experience fear while suffering, we have to remember another lesson from Paul. This is the third one that I have noted here. That there's no fear in our sufferings. There does not need to be fear in our sufferings. Let's look at what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear. When we go through heavy trials, when there's pain in our life situations, fear can come in and it can dominate the situation. Through our most recent trial in the life of our family. Very painful, very dark, very heavy. And we know that for myself, fear, there were times fear was so heavy. There were times that fear just felt like a heavy blanket over me. Fear that would capture my mind, it would capture my emotions, it would capture every part of me. Have you experienced that kind of fear in your trials and your tests? Fear that would be so real. I couldn't sleep. I'd wake up, heart racing, beating like it's going to come out of my chest, heart palpitations. Many of you can relate to that. But the Lord, he's not the author of that. It doesn't come from him. He's not bringing that. Tells us here, Paul says it by the Holy Spirit. That's not from the Lord. That's not from him. He comes with his spirit of power, his spirit of love, his spirit of a sound mind. We don't need to be afraid. Instead, in our hardships, in our deepest trials, he brings his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is with us. We know that. His Holy Spirit is in us. We know that. His Holy Spirit comes upon us. We know that. But it's important to be reminded of that. It's important to not forget it. It's important to hold tight to this promise, to remember in your times of heavy fear that the Lord is there. He doesn't leave us. He won't leave us, and He'll bring this. And He gives His spirit of love. In times of trial, tests, when fear comes in, His love will override that. His love will overcome that. His love will replace that. And I've experienced that, and you've experienced that in your own life. Praise the Lord for that. The only way that we've been able to survive, the only way that you survive your heavy trials, your heavy times of suffering, are to hold on tight, knowing that He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sometimes our minds can go wild, just spinning wildly. And, you know, the Bible says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ in 2 Corinthians 10:5. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, perfect love drives out fear. We have to remember these things when we're suffering in heavy trial. We desperately need a spirit of a sound mind, or we will go crazy. We will lose our minds. And that's been my experience in our recent trials. I've experienced this, the mind going wild, fear rushing in, things feeling so heavy like a cloud over me. But then, letting each of those crazy thoughts, letting them be taken captive to the obedience of Christ. Would you practice that? Would you do that, please? I've done that, and I know that the Lord, He does that. The next thing I've learned from Paul's life of suffering is there is a time where the Lord takes us to a place where we are quieted. He brings you to a place that is a place of rest, a needed place of quiet, a needed place of rest. Look at Acts 28, verses 30 to 31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. I love that the book of Acts wraps up this way. You read through the book of Acts, and I know Pastor Damien just started a journey through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. I hope you're here for every single one of those, because it is action-packed adventure that then ends this way with Paul quieted, paused. It was needed in Paul's life, everything that he had gone through, everything that he had experienced. Paul needed to slow down. He was always going. He was always moving. And sometimes the Lord puts us in a quiet place, a place that we would not choose for ourselves. For many years, well, these 12 years, I have resisted coming back for a proper furlough time, for a proper time of rest. At the thought of coming back for 8 months or a year, I always said, no way, not me. We have many friends in missions in Japan, and some of them work with different organizations and other church denominations. And it's very usual for missionaries to serve for about 3 years, and then their home church or home group says, come on back for about 8 months of rest and refreshment and travel around and tell us what's going on. And, you know, they do that, and then they get back over into Japan or the other places they serve, and they continue on, and then 3 years later, they're back, you know, and I always said, oh, thank you, Lord, I don't do that. I don't want to do that. And I resisted that, and I don't think it was disobedient resistance or anything. This time around, the Lord made it clear, go, and I said, okay, we'll go. We're not going to disobey, and we're here now. But there are times in your life when the Lord wants to just put you on pause. He wants to quiet you, get you in a place, stop running around, rushing around, being distracted by all sorts of things, and he just wants to get us in a quiet place where he can speak to us in some different ways and where he can use us in some new ways, some different ways than he's used us in the past. That's what's happening in Paul's life here. He's in the Roman prison. People can come and they can go. He's started the first prison ministry, in fact, here, shackled to guards, and they're on rotations. They have their shifts, and guards come and they go. And we know Paul had an impact in that first prison ministry that we've seen here, you know. And from Paul's time in the Roman prison, from his time of quiet, his time of rest, we have his writings that we've been so blessed to read and to study and to chew on through our Christian history. Paul was able to have people come to him now. Instead of him going around on journeys, they're all just coming to him. He's still ministering the gospel. And this is important in your life to know. You know, if the Lord puts you in a new place, a quieter place, a more restful place, you have to be okay with that. And you have to try and look at it with Paul's perspective where, hey, you know, people are going to come to me now. I'm not going around so much, but maybe someone's nearby or they're going to come. And just you'll have a different type of impact, a different kind of ministry, but still being used by the Lord. The Lord's in control. The Lord is with Paul here. He's using Paul in this time in his life, in this place, in this way. Paul's able also to make time for some other things. He's able to catch up on some things. Don't you love to catch up on things? Sometimes some of you, you enter into a time of retirement, and you've been dreaming of it for a very long time. Oh, I can't wait to retire. I can't wait to go into that time of rest, and I've got this list of projects, and I'm going to just tackle this list of projects. It's going to be great. You know, or I always say, you know, as a pastor, when I take a break, when I take a vacation, take a rest, you know, I've got a stack of books. Those are the ones that I want to read through. I have all of the study tools and the things for preparing and ministering and all of this, but I've got my other stack. I just want to be able to read through those, you know. And Paul has that time to, he's able to make time for other things. He's able to learn some things in this place. He's able to grow at this time. He's in prison. He's in Roman prison. He could look at it and just say, oh, what a bummer. This is terrible. I hate this place. I hate this time in my life. I don't want to be here. But yet, I think that Paul had the right heart, the right attitude, just embracing this time of rest, embracing the quiet and the new type of ministry that the Lord brought him to. And then finally, this is the final thing, and I know you can make your own lists and make 15 or 30 of them, but we won't be here all night long. The final lesson I've marked here from Paul's suffering is the need for rest. There's a need for rest in our lives. From Mark 6, verse 31. In Mark 6:31, it says, then because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I love these words of Jesus. I love that he says this to the disciples. We know that they worked very hard. We know that for 3.5 years, they were with Jesus night and day. They went from place to place. We know it wasn't an easy thing to follow him around to all of these places. They faced adversity. They had many enemies. They had their own trials and tests as they went along. But on this day, at this time, Jesus speaks these words to them. Jesus is sensitive to what's going on with them. He knows they haven't even had a chance to eat. They've been so busy. They're worn out. They've been giving and giving, serving and serving. And Jesus says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. How does this relate to suffering? Well, I think that the disciples probably thought they were suffering. You know, when you don't get a meal, when you skip a meal or two, you can say you're suffering. Right? Remember as a kid, Mom, Dad, I'm starving. And kids think they're suffering. Adults think they're suffering too. But I know, you know, it's not only that. It's just probably where they were at in every way. They felt, you know, there was a sense of suffering in there. And we see that Jesus is sensitive to that. And he brings them to a place of rest. And he shows them that they need to rest. And that time comes sometimes in our lives, in your life, my life, when we just need to step back. We need to take a seat. We need to be refreshed in the Lord. Being busy for the Lord, going through hardship, suffering, and painful trials, all of these can be followed by the need for rest. And that's where our family's at, and at this time, in this season in our own lives. I stand before you to say that to you, that we have come, in a big sense, we have come home. We have come home for a season of rest, because the Lord told us to come home for a season of rest. And the things that he taught Paul through his sufferings, we have been learning these things through our sufferings. And I am hoping to impart these lessons to you for your sufferings. You may not be suffering whatsoever tonight, and I am so pleased to know that. But as Pastor Damien says often in his teachings, we're either heading into a trial, in the midst of a trial, or heading out of the trial at every time and point of our lives. And so they'll come. Those times will come. They will come. I am sorry to tell you that tonight. You thought I'd bring some smiley, perky message. But trials will come because Jesus said so. Jesus told us that we would be tested. He said we would be persecuted. He told us that. But don't forget all of the other things I've shared with you tonight that he also told us. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And he said, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead, becoming like him in his death. Jesus died so that you might live. We are here together tonight in this air-conditioned room with cushiony chairs, carpet, lights, and all kinds of extras. Because Jesus died that we might live. Let's embrace these things that Paul says. Let's become like Jesus in his death by humility and by obedience to the Father. Let's do what the Father tells us to do. If he says, run, go, minister, serve, do it. If he says, stop, pause, rest, take a break, do it. Whatever he tells us to do, let's obey him and do it. He will be with us through every form of suffering that you face in life. He's going to provide everything we need. He'll provide even more than we could imagine or hope for. You won't lose your mind, even if you thought you were going to. Because he loves you. Because he loves me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that fill the pages. We thank you that you back up all of the promises, that you keep all the promises, that you provide the power for all the promises, that you've given us your Holy Spirit, your Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, so that, Lord, when we find ourselves in the deepest trials, the darkest times, the most painful experiences in life, we can know you're there with us and you're not going to leave us alone in it. You're going to replace the fear. You're going to replace the madness in our minds and emotions with love, with power. You're going to bring rest, and you're going to be with us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you love every man and woman in this room, every child in the children's ministry. Thank you that you love your people all around this city meeting together, Lord, that you love your people in this nation and you love your people in this whole wide world. And that every promise and everything we've looked at tonight is not only for us, but it is for every saint through all of history and time. And for tomorrow and next year and until you return. Lord, would you capture our minds? Would you capture our hearts? Would you replace all the things that are not of you with all the things that are of you? We pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen.